Welcome to She Knows, hosted by Brandon Burns, another show from Torched Productions. This is the show where we tell the stories of amazing women doing amazing things. We share stories of adversity, success, leading as a woman, overcoming challenges with gender, stereotypes, and role models for women all over the world. Tune in to walk away with at least one key insight every episode that will help you on your journey. Let's get down to the show, and if you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe and review us on all your favorite platforms and visit us at gettorched.com. Welcome back, everyone, to the second ever episode of She Knows, a brand new show shining a light on amazing women doing amazing things. And I've got an amazing woman on this show today, there's no doubt, but not just a woman, an amazing human being and someone who's been really crushing it in their space and industry for a long time now. Doesn't look to be slowing down. Her energy, I must admit, is just like infectious. So I'm going to introduce her. And she's a 45-year member of the Liberal Party. She's the member for Western Victoria. She's a mother of three. She's currently got a beef farm down in Camperdown, a huge property. And she covers such a massive area across the southwest. I've had the pleasure of interacting with her at Runway in Geelong and within the community supporting businesses and entrepreneurs. Bev MacArthur, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
What's it like to be working from home today where it looks like it's great weather and you get to relax in the surrounds of home? And, you know, what's it been like?
Well, I'm very fortunate because I'm out here in the country. My letterbox is 5 kilometres from the house, so I'm in isolation, so to speak, but I can enjoy the birds and the bees and the surrounds of being out in the country. So we are very fortunate, those of us who can be in the country. I have great sympathy for those people locked up in the prison of their homes in Melbourne. Can't even get to a playground these days. Who would have thought? Terrible.
Yeah, totally. Well, you've got good internet connection. That's one of the main things.
Well, when this whole lockdown business started, we didn't have good internet connection. So I engaged the local internet supplier and we've got our own receiver on the roof connecting to their tower. We're not connected to the NBN or anything, and we've got boosters right throughout the house, and we've also got a booster so that I can receive mobile phone calls in the house. That was not the case prior to installing a lot of technology, which I'm very grateful for the local supplier being able to provide.
That's brilliant. Now, I want to add something in because this is really cool. When I first interacted with you, I remember that you were talking to me about this huge sort of area and region that you cover and the amount of travel you have to do. And I remember you telling me that you had a printer at the time in your car so that at any given time you could print. Now, just give us a feel, immerse us into sort of what your travel, you know, can look like and how far you actually cover.
Well, this is a 79,000 square kilometre electorate. It's a third of rural Victoria. And we go from Melton all along the coast, including Geelong, to the South Australian border, up into the Mallee, up to Neil, and, of course, including Ballarat. So 11 lower house electorates, starting with Melton and going all through the Geelong electorates, the southwest electorate, up into Lowen, Ripon and all the Ballarat electorates. So it is a huge area, over 500,000 constituents at any one stage. And I do my best to get around it. Of course, COVID hasn't helped, but prior to that, I did work out of the car, basically, and I said to Parliamentary Services, what's the point of having an electorate office? Give me a mobile van. That'd be more use. That was all too foreign for Parliamentary Services. They couldn't get their head around that. It didn't tick all the boxes they were used to. So I did have to get a printer so that I was ready. I'm afraid that died, but then COVID came along and I've hardly been able to get anywhere. I try and get to the 23 or 24 local government municipalities I've got in the electorate because I was a former councillor. So I know they're very close to the local community and I like to have meetings with all the councillors and the directors and the CEO sometimes they try and fob me off to just the CEO and the mayor, and I avoid that because I need to see what everybody's saying and thinking. And I was over in Edenhope prior to lockdown at one point in time. We had an excursion 30 kilometres from the South Australian border. These border communities have been devastated. They lost their health service on about day one, and they all really operate with a major amount of services in Narracourt in South Australia. So they have to get a permit every fortnight in paper to continually go backwards and forwards. All the sporting teams ended because some people were from South Australia, some from Victoria. They're on the road to nowhere now. They used to be on the road to South Australia, but so the tourism aspect has ended. And, you know, that it's shocking for many communities. Never had one case of COVID and they've been locked down like the rest of us. I'm anti-lockdown. I'm anti most of these restrictions because, as we're seeing, it actually can't control a virus. It's a virus. Mm. And the rest of the world has changed their approach to this. So any one day when we're not dealing with COVID, I'll be on the road somewhere usually. And although I've got an office in Geelong now, people come and see us there when they need to. But otherwise, I go to them. I mean, why should somebody from Nil think they had to come to Geelong? That'd be ridiculous. So, it's important I go out to where the people are and who needs me at what time. Other than that, we're doing what we're doing now. We're on Zoom half the time. we're on the phone. We're on the email. We do as best we can to service the electorate, given the restrictions.
Well, you've probably at least 50% answered my next question that I ask people, which is, what's a typical day in the life look like? And it's changed drastically. But has there been one thing that you've had to do now in your day which has actually given you a bit of efficiency but that you weren't quite aware that it would now that you've been forced to, whether it be Zoom, whether it be being able to cut down on certain elements because of travel or people being more comfortable responding to the virtual element? Like what's been a bit of a hack and a bit of a win, that's given you a bit of efficiency?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what I did in the very beginning. I started Zoom conversations every week on particular topics, big topics that I thought we could address, because I'm the half glass full girl, I think there's no problems, only opportunities, just like Runway does with all the entrepreneurs that come through their doors. And so I thought we could use the time to access information and have a conversation about big topics that going forward we could do government better. So what that enabled me to do was bring in experts from around the world and across Australia within a forum that I wouldn't have been able to do in the town hall because, I can't bring somebody over from England at the drop of a hat or from wherever. So that has been a big advantage. And look, I'm not confident that these lockdowns are going to end anytime soon because Dan seems to have a bit of a passion for them, really. So I'm going to start them up again because I think we need to keep communicating with people even though we're not allowed to do it in person. So the only way I can do it is in this forum. And I think the first one might be unlock the state. That might be the first topic.
Yeah, tell me
so
what.
That people like you can get out and do what you do so very well, which is do film production and so on. Yeah. And the events industry I know has been slaughtered because I've been on inquiry as to the effects of COVID on the events industry. And I know exactly how most events companies have never had a job since March 2020. And so many have had to leave the industry. And we had in Victoria the very best people in events management and design in the world. And many of them, of course, do design features for other parts of the world in events. And we've lost them and we've lost that. We were the events capital. Now we're the lockdown capital. And that's terrible. So that's been an advantage. And I think people have got used to communicating this way. So and sometimes that's easier for some people that, they don't have to leave their office. and we can have a discussion about energy or construction or whatever it might be without people having to travel. I think the other advantage is all those people in the city have worked out it's quite nice out in the country, and providing we can have good connectivity, I'm keen to attract all the best businesses and entrepreneurs from Melbourne to get out and have a far better lifestyle in the country and employ a reliable workforce and create wealth outside the tram tracks of Melbourne.
Yeah, totally. Tell me, what's it like to be the most famous politician to be born in Terrain?
I don't know as I'm the most. I think there might have been, I don't know whether there have been any others, but look, I'm not famous. I'm a very lowly backbencher. I often say any further up the backbench, I'd be in the air conditioning ducts. But, you know, so I'm a very, very privileged and honoured to have this role. And, you know, everybody that's a constituent are far more important than me.
Yeah. If you think back to your time in Terrain, and maybe one or two key female role models that played a part in shaping you early, who would you say they were?
Well, look, I was actually only born in Terrain, so I can't point to a female role model at that time. I grew up on a farm. I was an only child. My parents moved soon after I was born to central Victoria, so I had glorious life of growing up in the country. And I'm on a school bus inquiry at the moment, and I say, you know, you're talking about taking children in buses to school. I had to ride the pony, and she used to jump out of the school pony paddock and get home, and I'd have to walk and fight the plovers. You know, fighting the pedophiles in my day wasn't an issue. It was the plovers that caused me havoc. But it was a great lifestyle. And I went away to boarding school when I was pretty young, like a lot of people in the country. I didn't endure. But anyway, I understood institutional life in boarding school. I was a bit of a rebel in those days, though, I must say. I didn't like rules and regulations then, and I don't like them now, you know. And I did spend a lot of my time writing essays as to why I didn't think, you know, going to church should be compulsory or, you know. But what I really didn't like about that was you had to put your 2 shillings in the plate. And I thought compulsory taxation wasn't a good idea either. But anyway, so that I think taught me to argue a case. As for my role models, look, basically I think, when I thought about this, they're largely my parents at a young age, because my mother couldn't drive a car. So she was stuck, you know, in a farmhouse, having to depend on the one time my father could take her to the town to get groceries and so on. My father worked from before dawn till after dusk, and until he had a shocking farming accident and became a paraplegic. So, you know, times were tough and they worked incredibly hard, but there was no thought that somebody else should help them out. It was basically you work hard and you get rewarded for your effort. I grew up with that philosophy that, you know, what you make of life, you make it yourself. And, you know, I think that's it's very important. I hope I've instilled that in my children who do work incredibly hard, and I hope they pass it on to their children.
I love that. I love hearing that. There are a lot of female MPs now and politicians, and it's great to see. But along the journey, and I really wanted to ask you this question on the show because you've seen it all, have there been any sort of gender-specific challenges or moments in time that you've seen that have, you know, really impacted upon being a female in this game?
Well, look, politics is a tough game, full stop. And if you don't like the heat, you've got to get out of the kitchen, quite frankly. And honestly, I find men very easy to work with. I find they're actually, in a way, more collaborative in the parliamentary sphere. you know, I try and do my very best to mentor very good people to come into politics, because heavens knows we need some very good people. You know, I'm looking at you now. You might, you know, want to move down that path soon. I absolutely work very hard to mentor young people and women, and I'm patron of the women's section, parliamentary patron in Victoria, and I work very hard with a fabulous chairman. We've got Tamsin Lawrence, who's an outstanding young person, a lawyer, who's taken on that role. So I work very closely with her to make sure we do get some outstanding women into the scene. But at the same time, I'm always looking out for good people, whether they're men, women, young, old, of whatever background or persuasion or whatever, so long as they understand the values of what being a Liberal is.
Yeah, love that. Would you rather be an MP in 2021 or 2001?
I actually think the challenge is great now. And I like that opportunity to reshape how we do government in this country. And I think COVID has provided that opportunity. You know, I think there are so many things we've been confronted with, and not the least of which are state premiers who've decided they're mini emperors rather than state premiers, and decided that borders are not just for interstate football matches, but somehow we are stopping people from crossing them. And I think this whole discussion needs to be had. We are a federation. We are an island state. We have to work as one people, not as a series of you know, boarded up, barbed wired, enclosed individuals. And I want to try and end this fight that's sort of almost ensuing about, you know, saying, well, New South Wales is not doing a good job, we're doing it better, we're not going to let you go to Western Australia, you know, you can stay home. And it's developing a dreadful culture of people in the country saying, we don't want people from the city, you're all diseased. You know, this is just not Australia, and we have to change this culture and this conversation. We are one people, so lucky to be in this glorious island state, and we have to appreciate that and end this state war and this war that's going on where, you know, we'll do what we like and somehow the federal government through their taxpayers will pick up the pieces. No, no, we've got to get back to working as one.
Yeah, totally. I don't think anyone enjoys hearing someone have pot shots at another state and how we're doing better or worse. It's kind of we're all one.
Well, I'm not sure we don't encourage that in the schoolyard. I'm sorry that we have to discuss it, you know, be hearing it in the parliamentary sense.
Speaking of schoolyards, what do you think about singing in kindergartens?
Well, you know, I think I've spoken about this. Like, we're not allowed to sing. You know, most of these rules and regulations cannot possibly be based on any medical evidence. And, of course, from day one, the Coalition have been trying to get the medical evidence out of Daniel Andrews and his Gang of Eight or his chief health officer. Nothing is forthcoming. I think they dream it up in a thought bubble overnight over a latte. And it is, I mean, stopping people singing, what, because you might breathe a germ out to somebody. Look, I learnt recently where the children in England were in hospital with the flu. Why? Because they'd sort of been locked up and they were no longer, sharing the normal diseases that children get in the playground or the kindergarten or the childcare centre or out with their friends on the street, whatever. And this was serious because they just hadn't built up a resistance to the normal infections that people have. And I think we've got to learn to live with a virus that's mutating all the time. And 100 years down the track, if we've got any descendants left, they might turn around and say, what the hell were you doing? Thinking that you couldn't sing, you couldn't dance, you couldn't go to the gym, you can't walk outside without a mask on. I mean, I have more danger of being run over by a vehicle, or breaking the neck because my glasses are fogged up with the mask than getting COVID.
I love it. Now, think back for me. If you didn't get into politics, what is that one professional career that you would have loved to have pursued?
Well, you see, I was always interested in it, and I was an advisor in the federal scene before I got married and had children. But I did think the greatest career I could have in life was bringing up well-adjusted children so they wouldn't become a burden to society and they would actually contribute to society. So that is what I saw as my career at the time. And I actually think we've downgraded the role of women in particular as parents. And I think that I don't want to sublet the responsibility of my children. I didn't, to the state. I mean, that's what Lenin did. You know, get the children at a very young age and you'll mold them into whatever shape you like. No, no. I actually think that we have to value the career of being a parent far more than we do. And this idea that every woman should put their child in childcare and go off and get a job, the tax system has to be changed so that parents can be parents first and foremost and be accommodated in that role, because I think it's terribly important that if you have children, you have to be responsible for them and you have to make sure they are going to be responsible human beings on this planet. And I'm not sure the state's the best one to do that.
That's excellent. I just want to ask, that's such a great point. And, you know, I've got four kids under eight and we're battling the same thing right now. What have you noticed or observed recently with mums in particular and how they're navigating through this? And because that's a great point you just made.
Well, I know that mothers particularly are having a terrible time, as are fathers, because if you're trying to hold down a job at home while at the same time trying to manage toddlers under your feet or actually help do homeschooling, it's almost impossible. And I think it's driving people to, you know, unfortunate outcomes. And, you know, I'm well aware of the mental illness that's escalating. And it has to be escalating, otherwise this government wouldn't have put another tax on employers to fund mental illness, which is what they did in the last budget, the state government. So mental illness is a serious problem. And I think I can't imagine what it'd be like to be stuck, particularly in a flat with no backyard, with children under your feet, either trying to school them or trying to keep them quiet while you're trying to hold a job down on the internet. It's impossible. And I know domestic violence rates have increased as a result of all this. So to me, the costs of these sorts of directives are far greater than the loss of life caused by COVID. And I think these consequences of businesses closing down, people being locked down, children not going to school, mental illness, domestic violence, all these aspects of how we've managed this so-called pandemic far outweigh the risks of some people dying. And after all, in Victoria, I think at the moment, this year, not one person has died of COVID, which is fantastic. But how many have committed suicide? How many people will never recover from their business going broke and the loss of their house and everything else? Mm-hmm. These costs will never be recuperated, no matter how much government subsidy we fork out.
Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you, and it could be related to what we just discussed, it could be something else, but it doesn't sound like you'd have many of these, if not any at all, but what is your biggest fear?
I guess my biggest personal fear is losing another child. So I lost a child to a dreadful cycling accident. Andrew was just not quite 30. So that was the most devastating thing that's ever happened to me in my life, and that would be my greatest fear of ever happening again. And I fear for any mother, any father too, who loses a child in whatever circumstance. But my political fear would be Daniel Andrews getting re-elected, or combined with Anthony Albanese getting elected. I'd have to hit the bottle, I think. I mean, that would be so dreadful. I'll be down at Runway trying to work out a new job.
Bev, your energy is amazing. Like, it's just so great. I want to ask you, you've described how your day today has pivoted slightly, and obviously everyone who's a high performer has particular things that they do every day that really do set them up properly, but also just give them an edge. And I just love hearing from you personally, what are a couple of things that you just do religiously every day that really do help you have a real optimal outcome and a really good day?
Well, I try and, I do tune in every day at 5:30 to the news on the radio. So I get the first draft of what's happening and how tragic it is today that we learned of what's happened in Afghanistan with the loss of life in a suicide bomber. I mean, this was always on the cards, but it's dreadful that it's happened. So we're very grateful that the Australian servicemen were out before it happened, but how tragic for the American servicemen and all those Afghanis who've been affected and who are desperately trying to get out of this shocking place. So I listen to the radio, and then I go through the emails and the messages and work out, you know, what we might do with my team. And I have the most fantastic team working with me. I'm just the front person, really, and most of what they do is way above my pay grade. And I couldn't survive without them, and I've got these, I'm indebted to them. So we work out what we'll do in the day. I might allocate some tasks out. But I just thought you might be interested to hear some of the issues that would come up, in the first few hours of my day. And I looked through some emails this morning, and they're from anything from decriminalising prostitution to the shortage of farm labourers, to overhead transmission lines, to potholes in roads, to businesses going broke, to children threatening suicide, to bans on wood fires and gas fires, to climate change ending the world, to border closure issues. And we've got thousands and thousands of people from our electorate who are stuck in Queensland and can't get back here. Somebody just rang me about New World Order conspiracy theories. And then, the issues of to vaccinate or not vaccinate. And in the end, it's about unlocking this state. So they're just a sample of what's in my inbox in the first 2 hours of this morning.
So is there daily meditation? Is there a kale and green smoothie? Is there,
Now that's what I'm really lacking. And look, one of my staff told me yesterday they've just lost 10 kilograms or something. God, you've got a new job. You can be my trainer. So I am completely slack about this sort of thing. I do try and walk. Come about 11 o'clock at night, I might have to switch over to Netflix and switch off. Although the Olympic Games have provided a nice diversion, and with Paralympic Games on at the moment. So how we cannot but admire these amazing athletes who have for 5 years have given up so much to try and get to Olympic Games. An absolute shout out to Japan, who despite all the naysayers and everything else have gone ahead and run the Olympic Games, even though they've got COVID ravishing the place, whatever, they seem to have it under control to a certain extent, or whatever they're doing is fabulous, because the world has been able to enjoy outstanding athletes trying to do their best.
What are you binging on Netflix at the moment?
Well, I binge on it and then I can't even remember what I've watched. It's, what was it? There was an Israeli series I watched, which was very, I like espionage and spy things and drama. I'm not so good on the comedy stuff, but I can't remember. What was one? Can't remember the names. Isn't that terrible? That's how much I kind of switch off. I don't even know what I'm watching.
Now, I have to ask, this is a lighter question, but, like, there's got to be a secret talent that you have that no one, I mean, your staff and inner circle would be aware of, but give us an insight into what's, is it karaoke? You know, what's that secret talent?
No, look, I can absolutely assure you my singing capacity is zilch. When I was at school, I wasn't allowed to sing the school song for fear I'd put everybody off. So karaoke's out. But look, what I try and be, which is what I've always been, is authentic. And I think authenticity in whatever you do, whether it's business, politics, friendships, life in general, you've got to be authentic. And, you know, what you see is what you get, you know. And look at me, with all the rough edges, that's what you get. I'll call a spade and I'll give you a point of view, whether you like it or not, because that's my point of view and that's what I'm paid to do. I'm paid to represent people, but also tell you honestly what I think about something. You know, I'm a hater of government spin and, muddling around with weasel words and so on. So I think you've got to be authentic. I try and be authentic. And it's probably, I don't know, the only thing I think I could point to. I hope that's what I am.
Yeah, no, I've experienced it firsthand here. I want to ask you, give me just your honest opinion, an authentic opinion on this. Why does it seem that there doesn't appear to be any strong leadership or obvious people standing up to really stand up to what's happening now with the lockdown and the Labor Party? Why isn't there someone, like, we see Jeff Kennett on the news, but he's out now, right? But it's like, oh, I wish he was back, because he sort of brings another perspective but has the clout. Or maybe there is someone that we just don't know. Who could that person be, or who, you know, where is that person?
Well, I think, many politicians are afraid of the headline tomorrow. You know, I say to some of my colleagues, it'd be good if you got one. there's no good trying to appeal to the lowest common denominator. You've got to be not risk averse. And I think too many people in politics are risk averse today. Now, Daniel Andrews is anything but risk averse. He's out there saying whatever he thinks he's going to do to control our lives and, so in his view, control the virus. And he doesn't really care what you think he's going to. So I think don't worry about what the headline will be tomorrow. Stand up for what you believe in, and don't be trying to appeal to absolutely everybody, because you'll end up appealing to nobody. And, I think in conservative politics, we've lost an awful lot of voters at a state level, and we have to win them back. So I know there's been talk recently about going to the middle ground. I'm not sure what the middle ground is, really. I think we just need to represent and advocate the values that I think most Australians subscribe to, and their reward for effort, a fair go, not have governments control your lives to the extent they are these days. You know, somebody asks me often, why are you in politics? And I say, to get government out of our lives. But you're in government. Why would you? Because governments actually create the problem. They don't provide the solution. 9 times out of 10, they create another problem. And the obstacles they put in front of businesses and in front of people's lives. I mean, we're being told now that I'm meant to be a chest feeder, not a breastfeeder. Like, this is outrageous, all this sort of rubbish.
You just got a headline for the show.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a breastfeeder, not a chest feeder. I'm out there. It is a nonsense. I'm a gestational parent, not a non-gestational parent. You know, what is this rubbish? I don't subscribe to any of this stuff. Look, you want to go out and do a fair day's work for a fair day's pay, fantastic. I want everybody to be in that position. I want kids to aspire to be the best. I don't want everybody to be a winner because they can't be. Don't let's delude people and children about the fact that, life's too hard, so, you know, everybody's a winner. No, they're not. Actually, we've got to give everybody the opportunity, but not everybody's going to be the winner. Let's face up to reality and let's make sure we ensure that kids know how to face up to reality. It's okay if they get beaten in the race. That's fine. Yep. Learn how to lose. That's what we've got to do. I think we just need politicians that will call a spade and have a crack. You know, and I think it was Bolte who used to say, oh, bugger me dead, I made a mistake with that. Well, I've changed my mind. It's different today. Well, be prepared to admit failure and admit you've got it wrong and work out a better way of doing it. And if you give me a better idea, I'd say, hooray, that's terrific. Your idea is better than mine. I got it wrong. I'm prepared to admit failure.
Yeah, I love that. Is there one particular amazing woman, whether it's abroad, locally, well-known or anonymous, that you've really, seen recently, you've gone, wow, I love what they're doing?
Well, of course, I love what Peter Credlin's doing. I love what Jacinta Price is doing. Jacinta Price, fortunately now, has been pre-selected to go into the Senate for the coalition, and I know Jacinta Price not very well, but I do know I've been with her on numerous occasions. And what a fantastic role model for the Indigenous community. And if you want role models for women, she's one who says that we shouldn't be discriminating on the grounds of colour or breed. We are one Australia, and everybody who's disadvantaged should be treated for the disadvantage, not on the basis of colour or creed. I think Jacinta's going to make a great contribution to the federal parliament. I think that will be fantastic. And I mentioned Tamsin Lawrence before, a fantastic a young lawyer who works in the industrial relations space for the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and she is an exceptional star of the future, or star now she actually is. But who else are there?
What about go
on.
I was going to say maybe, you've got a great idea, so you keep going. You give me yours.
I think also I think Claire Chandler, Senator from Tasmania, is doing a fantastic job at calling out a lot of this sort of woke nonsense, especially as it relates in the transgender space. So I think she's very interesting. And I must say the Victorian Women's Guild are also doing a good job making sure that we understand that women are women, not men becoming women.
Well, Bev, this has been amazing. I've run out of your precious time, but I just wanted to ask for our audience, what is that one thing we can do to support and get involved with you from here?
Ah, well, look, how fantastic. Well, if we could all meet, we'll have a town hall meeting. If we can't, we'll, get in touch with me. Get everybody on my mailing list. You can hear on a daily basis what I'm saying, what I'm doing. Connect with me on my social media, Facebook. I sometimes launch into Twitter, but it's really for the political apologists, really. But engage with me and tell me you don't like what I'm saying, or tell me if you do. I want to hear from everybody and engage with everybody as best we can. Now, we can't do it physically all the time, but we can do it in other ways. And maybe we can't wait till we can do something, and let's have a town hall gathering where we engage with the wider community.
Love that idea. Well, Bev MacArthur MP, you've been so generous. We can't wait to do it in person, hopefully soon. And thank you for giving us your time over everything else. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, it's no trouble at all. And thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of She Knows. If you loved what you heard, then do us a favour and review and subscribe to us on all your favourite platforms. To get in touch, head to gettorched.com and see you on the next episode.